The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. And now, it's time for a Deep South legend that's been keeping it real here in Atlanta for over two decades. It's the Buck Ballou Show, only on The Fan.
From 680 The Fan Studios in the Battery Atlantis, the Buck Ballou Show. You're on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Happy Monday, everybody. The gang's not all here. In fact, we've got some fill-ins here. David Holloway, our engineer today on the show. David, welcome to the show, buddy.
Always glad to be here, Buck.
Matt Edgar, our producer today. How about that? Edgar, welcome, man. Working the Buck Ballou Show today. Road Dogs on the road.
In God's country, in the great state of Ohio.
I saw him laying down in that back seat on social media, driving from Winston-Salem up to Columbus, Ohio. And don't even get you started on Ohio State. By the way, we'd take up all the time on the show today, brother. So you guys are playing basketball?
Apparently, we actually started doing something since we fired Chris Holtman, so there's some positives going on.
All right. Well, we're looking to take you guys down so we can go to New York. Now, I don't know if Road Dogg would then get back in the car and drive to Madison Square Garden. Not sure that's an immediate thing, but we may be seeing you handling this show for a while now. We'll see about that.
All day on that, Buck. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I can go all day.
All right, we got a lot to get to, a short time to get there. Let's get to the big take.
Buck's big take.
All right, this is for some people, a huge day in sports here in the state of Georgia. And you might not realize it. I'm not talking about Braves opening day coming up on Thursday. I'm not talking about the Sweet 16. I'm talking about legalized sports gambling. A decision that hangs in the balance. The clock is ticking. The Georgia legislative session runs through Thursday, I believe it is. Wednesday or Thursday. And today in the House, there is some serious discussion going on that has the local professional teams, the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, Atlanta United, sitting on pins and needles. In a committee meeting today, politicians will be looking to make a decision on whether to move forward with a House vote. Now, word on Peachtree Street says it's close to a 50-50 situation. So it's hanging in the balance. And, you know, it could go either way at this point in time. Somewhat risky, too. If this goes to a ballot and fails, well, it could set back the movement for, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. And passing it requires bipartisan support because it has opponents on both sides of the aisle. A couple of bullet points. A yes vote means a 20% tax rate on sports betting revenue. That would be huge. And the legalized sports betting online is projected to hit $125 million annually. So we're talking about big money here. And finally, right now there are 40 states that allow electronic sports betting. Georgia's not one of them. Stay tuned, folks. More news will be coming down in the next 24 to 48 hours. On what lies ahead. Big meeting going on today as they try to decide what to do. And there's the big take as we get the show started today. I bet you didn't expect to hear gambling talk as we got the show started today, but this is obviously big for the professional teams here. And you look around the country, a lot of these states have got it going on. And a lot of people here in the state of Georgia hoping this thing can pass and go through. All right, let's see what's popping out there.
Let's find out what's popping.
All right, the Sweet 16 is set. SEC fans, you got a couple of teams still alive. We've got Tennessee. They're alive. Be taking on Creighton at the Sweet 16. Alabama moving on into the Sweet 16. A showdown with North Carolina looms out there later this week. So two SEC teams alive. And surprise, surprise, four ACC teams are still dancing. You got the number one seed North Carolina. You got Duke. Clemson has shocked a lot of people. Clemson still running the floor in the dance. And how about NC State, the highest seed still remaining? NC State, the Wolfpack, will be taking on number two Marquette. Clemson gets number one Arizona. Speaking of the ones and twos, all four of the ones have moved on. UConn, Houston, North Carolina, and Purdue. All four of the number two seeds have moved into the Sweet 16. Iowa State, Marquette, Arizona, Tennessee. Still in the mix here. And do you know what? This is only the fifth time that all the ones and twos have advanced into the Sweet 16. Only the fifth time that's ever happened. So if you went with a chalk, probably still feeling pretty good about your chances of winning that bracket in the company pool. I hadn't checked ours. I'm not sure where I stand. But I'm thinking I'm still in the mix here with the way things are looking. So rest up for a couple days. A little Sweet 16 action coming up later this week. NIT going on. Road Dog Gillespie, as I mentioned, woke up in Columbus, Ohio this morning as Georgia has advanced. They beat Wake Forest yesterday. They get the Buckeyes in the quarterfinals tomorrow. Didn't expect to be talking NIT at this point in time, but here we are. And the Georgia football program, some disappointing news yesterday as the news broke. Running back Trevor Etienne, a transfer from the University of Florida, did some big things for the Gators at running back his first 2 years. Kirby and the Dogs were hoping he was going to do some big things for him, and he may still do that. Arrested for DUI and reckless driving, among some other things, tinted glass. Got some other issues he's going to be dealing with. So he was booked 4:30 in the morning, which would be Sunday morning. So it was a Saturday night party for Trevor Etienne that went in early into the morning time on Sunday morning. Booked at 4:30. I heard Finn and the boys on that locker room show this morning. A lot of them stunned that he got out of there so quickly. Released by 5:30 in the morning. I'm sure he went home and got some sleep. And then had to go deal with Kirby. We got more on this coming up in the Bulldog Beat and the impact it will have on this Bulldog program moving forward. Imagine that, a college kid drinking and driving. My goodness. And the Braves season will open on Thursday in Philadelphia. They're wrapping up spring training. Got a game with the Twins today at 1:05. Then tomorrow, they'll wrap it up down at spring training with another matchup with the Twins at 1:05. A travel day on Wednesday. They will resurface in Philadelphia to take on those sad sack Phillies who were tired of seeing the Braves win the division. We got Spencer Strider going on Thursday, and then we've got this craziness, and they're going to take Friday off in case there's bad weather on Thursday. And game two of the series will be on Saturday. Looks like Max Fried ready to go in game two. And I'm assuming Chris Sale will go in game three. So we'll throw two left-handers at those left-handed bats in that Philadelphia lineup. So big week. Got some gambling news. A lot of people are waiting to see the outcome of that. Sweet 16 will continue. Bulldogs advance in the NIT. And our Atlanta Braves getting ready to start another season. I tell you, it's been an entertaining big dance so far. I mean, we've had upsets. Oakland taking down Kentucky. Have they fired Coach Cal yet? I'm wondering. Cut that check for $33 million and show the guy the door. Yale took down Auburn. Come on, Bruce Pearl. You can coach better than that, can't you? We've had surprises and, well, some disappointments with, as I mentioned, Auburn going down to Yale and then Florida going down to Colorado. They're out quickly out of the tournament, shown the door. We've seen predictability. As I mentioned, all the ones and twos have advanced into the Sweet 16. We've seen buzzer beaters. Seen some drama. Like last night, had to hang in there to the very end to see Houston win last night. So that game went into overtime. So tell you what, so far the big dance has given us everything a basketball fan desires. With the exception of maybe your team getting beat and your bracket being busted. All right, coming back on the other side, the Braves have some huge, very high expectations. Can they live up to that? Some people say no. And the Falcons, what are they up to today? Well, they got to focus on something. I'll tell you what that is. And more on that ETN situation. You got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best. Good job, Hubbard. Nailed it. Man, that guy's good. Welcome back to the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Remember now, we're streaming at 680thefan.com. Click and watch the show. Hey, everybody. And get that Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Check the Braves out all season long, regardless of where you're at. Listen crystal clear on that Fan mobile app. So Braves get their season started on Thursday. And we got that big golf event coming up soon, too, man. Looking forward to that. And with that in mind, mastering Southern hospitality for over 17 years, Club Magnolia is the best place to be off the course in Augusta this April. The ultimate Augusta hospitality can be your exclusive private sanctuary, boasting top-tier amenities and service. Don't you love that? The perfect oasis for both indoor and outdoor VIP service. New in 2024, Club Magnolia 19. Our after-golf experience will be up and running Wednesday through Sunday of the big week, and you can join today. Limited memberships available to experience hospitality at its finest during the one of the most recognizable events in the world today. Go to clubmagnolia.com for full details and to join the club. I went to the club this weekend, and I had the shades on. Let's chop it up. Talk a little Braves baseball.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Yeah, so the Braves, spring training basically is over. Let's not get anybody hurt today or tomorrow, please. Got the season opening game. Braves going to fly north on Wednesday. Start the season, hopefully, on Thursday. I hadn't checked the weather report. What's that looking like on Thursday in Philadelphia? It's going to be cold, I would imagine. But Braves are going to start this season with tremendously high expectations. Let me be real here. The Braves don't reach the World Series, it's a big disappointment. If the Braves don't win the World Series, it's going to be a disappointment. And I checked out the Vegas odds. Doing a little show prep late last night after Houston held on in overtime. And I see where the Dodgers are the favorites to win the World Series. Now, that may have been before Ohtani got caught gambling big-time money. So I wonder if that will change maybe later this week as we get closer to opening day, but as of last night, they still had the Dodgers, the favorites to win it all. Braves were number two. Astros were number three. And I was a little surprised to see the Yankees number four. When's the last time they've really been in the mix? Seems like a minute. So the Braves issue coming into the year, the reason why they're not number one is because the Dodgers have spent like $700 million during the offseason. Try to pay Ohtani's gambling debts and get him locked down for an extended period of time. But also because the Braves have had some postseason issues. The last 2 years, we've lost to Philadelphia in the divisional series round, and it was really disappointing. And you look at the Braves, the people that question the Braves, that are leery of putting their hard-earned money on the Braves this year, getting and winning the World Series, getting to and winning the World Series. Their concern is the rotation. Last season, the ERA of the Braves rotation was 17th in Major League Baseball. 17th, so sort of middle of the road. And to win the World Series, man, your rotation's got to be better than that. 17th? That puts a lot of pressure on the bats come postseason time to hit the best pitching in the world, score some runs, and lead the way offensively. Typically, your pitching's going to help you get there and then help you win it. The Braves didn't have that a year ago, faltering in the postseason with that rotation. So what they've done during the offseason, Anthopoulos added Chris Sale. And immediately the critics out there started ripping the Braves and Anthopoulos, saying, Chris Sale, he hadn't been healthy in 3 to 4 years. So what makes you think he's going to be healthy this year? Is he going to break down? Is Sale going to make a tremendous impact? Well, there's some questions there. Will it be him? My concern or thought is, can we get Chris Sale to the postseason healthy and strong? Don't really care about the regular season when it comes to Chris Sale. Braves have some tremendous rotational pitching depth. They can get him covered up. But when it comes to the postseason and getting through the Phillies and Dodgers, Braves are going to need Chris Sale to be at the top of his game. So there's some questions surrounding the big offseason addition. Feeling good about Max Fried, man. I mean, he's making that free agent push. Not that he hadn't tried in previous years, but this is huge for Max Fried. I mean, he's going to reach free agency at the end of the year, and so he wouldn't be the first guy that put up huge numbers in a free agent season. So looking for Max Fried to go out and dominate. Spencer Strider, as we've talked about during the spring, has added that curveball. So he's got another quality off-speed pitch. I know he was awesome a year ago. There were some things that held him back from winning the Cy Young in the National League. Maybe this addition of the curveball will help him even have a better season this year. Maybe win the Cy Young in the National League this year. Question marks with Charlie Morton. I mean, he's about 50, age-wise. So, you know, what's he going to bring to the table? You got the newcomer, Lopez, who has been better in the bullpen than in the rotation. They're going to start him in the rotation this year. And then, obviously, as I mentioned, the Braves with some big-time rotational depth with guys like Bryce Elder ready to get called up and come join the fray. He made the All-Star game last season. So as we get the season started on Thursday, me, like you, have extremely high expectations for this season. I'm not going to sweat the regular season. I wouldn't mind winning the wild card, playing immediately, having no 5 days off. Doesn't seem like we play that very well. So I'm not going to sweat the regular season. I want us healthy and ready come postseason time. And there's some Braves talk for you. Looking forward to that, man. Really miss the Braves. And, you know, we got this NCAA big dance thing going on, which is gives us something to watch and think about on a daily basis. But with the Braves, man, I mean, we're listening to the Braves right here on 680, the home of the Braves, every single day once the season starts. And then even my wife, who is not, you know, one of those crazy sports fans, but I'll walk in the door and she will have the Braves on in the background on TV. So we're always listening or watching the Atlanta Braves. Can't wait for the season, the marathon season, to get underway on Thursday. Holloway, what's that weather report looking like up there? Did you check that out?
I did look into it, Buck, and it looks like in Philadelphia for Thursday, it will be cloudy and 53. For the weekend, it will be slightly warmer, still in the mid to upper 50s, and
a little bit
more sun. No snow.
Okay,
thank goodness.
No snow.
No sort of precipitation in the forecast of any kind. So it'll be cloudy for the most part, but you'll probably get some sun.
Yeah, I just love it. I just don't get why Major League Baseball, they don't have, like, the Braves opening. As I mentioned last week on the show, did some research, and we rarely open the season at home. And it makes no sense. Why are we opening the season in Detroit, Philadelphia, New York? Should be down south opening the season. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I'm for doing what makes sense. And that factors into the Falcons, too. Let's jump on them.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
All right, I know what the Falcons are up to right now. I know what they're doing. They're sitting in that executive boardroom at base camp, and they're focused on the NFL draft. Got the calendar turning in a couple of days to April, and before you know it, we're going to have the NFL draft coming up. And the Falcons are looking to hit a home run, go deep, and have an explosive touchdown in the NFL draft as they look to fill more holes. They're out of money as far as free agency goes. I don't even think at this point in time they got enough money to sign the draft class because they paid Kirk Cousins $45 million plus annually to come play quarterback for. So they won't be hitting the free agent market leading into the draft. So look, Fontenot and that large staff, the personnel staff they've got at Falcons base camp, they got to get it right come draft time. And I just wonder, ran across this doing some show prep late last night after the big dance ended. And ran across this with the Falcons explore. A lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy moving up and being that third quarterback taken in the draft. I mean, looks like Caleb Williams is going to the Bears number one. Then you got the Commanders going number two. Are they going to take Jaden Daniels? He's a better option than Drake May, isn't he? We'll say that happens. So Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, goes to the Commanders at 2. What are the Patriots doing at 3? Are they taking J.J. McCarthy over Drake May?
I'm cheating.
Is that what? Are they going to take J.J. McCarthy over Drake May?
Well, they both got something in common. They both got caught spying. So, I mean, if he's a perfect fit for New England.
Yeah. So, hey, let's say the Patriots jump on J.J. McCarthy and Drake May's still on the board. Hey, do the Falcons talk to Phoenix about moving up to 4 and taking their quarterback of the future, Drake May, who would fit the system? The Falcons going to run under Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris. Would they consider doing that? I mean, that makes a little bit of sense to me. I mean, it's not like Kirk Cousins is going to be hanging around with us here in Atlanta for an extended period of time. He's going to be 36 this year. I put a 2-year run for Kirk Cousins here with a Falcons uniform on. So it would be smart to go ahead and lock down your quarterback of the future. If Drake May's there at 4 and you know the Phoenix isn't going to take him, would you call them and talk about moving up and grabbing Drake May? He's going to need some time to develop. He's not a guy that's going to plug and play immediately. So this would be a great fit for the Atlanta Falcons. You play Cousins for a couple of years until he gets his cane and has to retire. And then you plug in Drake May, who's going to be more prepared to go out there and play at a high level. Makes sense to me. Or you got Terry Fontenot now. He's been a guy so far in the 3 drafts that he's been running. He and Mr. Blank have been together, and we've gone with the best available player 3 consecutive years. So, I mean, if that's not a trend, I don't know what is. Fontenot looks to be a guy that wants to go with the best available player, the best player on the board. And we talked about it last week. You got Cousins, who's a pocket passer, coming off a torn Achilles, 36 years old. You better protect him, or his butt's getting sacked 45 times. So would you go Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt, rated as one of the top players in the draft, would you go with him at 8? Talked about this last week. Would you go with the first cornerback, the highest-rated cornerback in the draft? I mean, you got to fill that void. Premium position, you got to be able to cover in the National Football League. Would you go with that corner out of Toledo? Man, he looks good. And then if you're going to run that 11 personnel grouping that the Falcons are going to run, like the Rams, you need 3 receivers. Now, I know we've signed some receivers in free agency, but look, those guys have been slot receivers, undersized receivers. And if you're running the 11 personnel group, let me coach you up here real quick. You're going to be in a 3 wide receiver set, and a lot of times you're going to see those 3 receivers bunched up together on one side of the ball. And you're going to ask them to run block. The slot receivers, typically not very good blockers. So the Falcons may go with a wide receiver with that 8th pick in the first round. Best available player. Will they continue that trend? As far as the edge rusher goes, we're all desperate to have a legitimate pass rusher for the Falcons. I mean, it's been since Vic Beasley had that breakout year he had since we've had a legitimate pass rusher. So we going to take that Alabama kid at the 8th pick of the first round? We're going to do a trade with Philadelphia. Take Hassan Reddick off the board. He's being hung out to dry, and he's available if you want him. $14 million he's owed for the upcoming season, final year of his contract. And most people are tagging the Falcons and the Phoenix Cardinals as in teams that would be interested in Reddick. And I would prefer to go with a proven edge rusher than going with one of these rookies. We've had no success taking a rookie pass rusher, and I'm scared off because of it. So I'd prefer to go with a guy that's had some success already in the league. I'd be all for trading for Haason Reddick and getting him in here. As far as that backup quarterback thing goes, I mean, I don't think Michael Penix Jr. is going to wait. He's not going to be around in the second round. I don't believe that to be the case. The Falcons looking for that quarterback of the future. Would they consider trading into the back end of the first round to get Penix if he's still on the board? As you know, I'm very high on Michael Penix Jr. And I think he would be a great fit with the scheme the Falcons are going to be running. So I'd be all for doing that. But these are some of the things the Falcons are discussing right now at this very moment. Now, they may have taken a coffee break. Or do you think they have somebody that brings in the coffee so they don't have to take a break? Trying to discuss all these things. Trying to get it all covered. Not sure how that works. I'd be glad to go in there and, you know, if they're not monitoring the show anymore. The word was they used to monitor the Buck and Kincaid show to see what we were talking about when it came to Falcons football. I don't know if they monitor the Buck Belue show. But if they did, they would know. I've got plenty of opinions on the Falcons. I would love to go in there and get them coached up a little bit. So we could get this thing right. All right, there's your Falcons dose today. They have been a wealth of content here since the season ended. A lot going on with our Atlanta Falcons, giving us plenty to talk about. Now, as spring football is underway, and with another big arrest, hey, the Bulldogs give us plenty to talk about, too.
The Fan's got a Georgia Bulldogs national champion on the beat.
25-20, mark sideline, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
This is the Bulldog Beat with Buck Belue, presented by Georgia's own credit union and attorney Ken Nugent.
Yeah, I want to talk about the impact of losing running back Trevor Etienne. And look, I'm just going to go ahead and be real with you. Trevor Etienne's going to be suspended to start the season. DUI over the weekend, facing multiple charges. As you know, 2023 was just a miserable year for the Georgia Bulldogs off the field, with some tragic deaths involved with drunk driving. And so this is something that Kirby Smart and the Bulldog program are taking very seriously. And you might chuckle a little bit if you pull for another program and say, oh, yeah, that's doing a lot of good. Kirby's not holding anybody accountable over there. They've got a culture problem at Georgia. I bet there's some Ohio State fans thinking that.
I mean, I can't speak for us, but, you know I don't hold those feelings. But,
you don't?
No.
That didn't even cross your mind?
No, not really. I mean, honestly, I mean,
What do you think? It's just college kids being college kids?
I think it's college kids being dumb college kids. I think they're just not smart enough to make good decisions. I mean, you know, I think it's just an entire football player thing, not just like just a Georgia thing, because you saw other schools like Alabama also has the same problem sometimes with drugs. I mean, you got a lot of football programs who get into trouble. I mean,
the teenagers seem to find their way into some trouble.
Yeah, they really. I don't think it's a culture problem at Georgia. Personally, I just don't. Right. So I don't believe that.
Well, but, I tell you, you know, you get on social media and you see a lot of people that think there's a culture problem over
there. Social media people.
That X and Twitter, for the most part, is a cesspool.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
For this kind of criticism, man, I mean, it is unbelievable. Negativity on Twitter or X or whatever it is you want to call it.
I mean, kids make dumb decisions all the time. So, I mean, it's just what college kids do. Yeah. They do stupid stuff.
So I'm just going to look ahead. I'm just going to assume that Trevor Etienne is going to miss the opening game of the season. And look, the opening game of the season is against Clemson. Right here in Atlanta in that kickoff game. So that is not a game that you would want your starting running back to be missing. I mean, you got the Clemson Tigers, and look, they've been down a little bit here the last couple of years. But this isn't like opening the season against Samford, all right? I mean, this is a legitimate opponent. And I'm sure that Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator, was planning on getting ETN heavily involved. And I'm assuming he would have been the starting running back in the Clemson game, the season opener. And I would assume that Mike Bobo was already making plans on featuring Trevor Etienne, targeting Trevor Etienne, getting Trevor Etienne touches, both in the run game and in the passing game. But I'm assuming here that Mike Bobo won't have access to Trevor Etienne in the Clemson game. So what kind of impact does that make on this first game against the Clemson Tigers without Trevor Etienne? Well, I would think that Mike Bobo is going to have to adjust his game plan. Because with Trevor Etienne, as I just mentioned, you're going to get him involved in the passing game. You're going to throw him some screen passes. You're going to get him out some flat routes, some check downs. You're going to make sure you bubble screens. You get him the ball in the passing game. You won't be doing that, I'm just assuming, with Dejan Edwards now gone, Kendall Milton now gone, moving on to the National Football League, trying to make a professional team at this point in time, and with Trevor Etienne, who you brought in to be the lead back in this upcoming season, you don't have access to those three guys. So where do you go? Well, you got the sophomore Roderick Robinson. And Roderick Robinson earned a little playing time last season as a true freshman at the beginning of the year. And then he went away. He went away as they got into the meat of the season, got into SEC ball. And then at the end of the season, Roderick Robinson resurfaced. You might remember the Orange Bowl. He got some playing time against the Seminoles. Well, I mean, look, everybody on the Georgia team that day got some playing time in that blowout victory. But Roderick Robinson resurfaced. I believe he had 7 carries for 70 yards, had some plays to feel good about during the offseason. And here's a guy, and typically what happens is you get a true freshman that shows up and they think, okay, I got this thing figured out. I'm going to come in. I'm going to get some immediate playing time. I'm going to be a star player. And then you figure out, I'm just not ready for this yet. I mean, physically, I'm not ready. Fitness level, I'm not ready. I'm going to have to take that to a whole new level to get where I need to be. And so with a full year into the Georgia program as a sophomore, you're more comfortable with the offense, the terminology, what your assignments are, and you're making fewer mistakes the second year. You're more comfortable in the system. And then your fitness level is so much better than it was as a freshman. They've had you on campus. You've been through the off-season strength and conditioning program, and you feel like a new man. So I'm sure that Roderick Robinson is feeling very confident right now during spring football practice. Now, he's a big dude. I mean, dude's 6 foot, 240 pounds the last time I looked at him. So the game plan, I would imagine, against Clemson with Mike Bobo, you're going to get into, with Roderick Robinson as the lead back, you're going to get into bully ball. You're going to run that football. You're going to run it between the tackles. You're going to invite these safeties to come up and try to get this big fella on the ground instead of throwing it around and being on the perimeter with Trevor Etienne. You're going to rely more on the passing game than you are the running game in the season opening matchup against Clemson. I mean, after all, you do have a veteran quarterback. You got a strong wide receiver group. Might be a little thin at running back. I mean, behind Roderick Robinson, you got Andrew Paul, and I know you hadn't seen a lot of Andrew Paul, but I have. I've seen enough to know. I'm very impressed with Andrew Paul. He is a very versatile running back. Can run between the tackles, can get out on the perimeter and run with it. I think he can catch the ball a little bit. I do like Andrew Paul. And then you know all about Cash Jones, who can give you some of that running back in the passing game, is more well-versed, is helping you in the passing game, is what Cass Jones brings to the table. So you could look at him as a third down back in the season opening game. Now, they got three freshmen. I hadn't seen any of the three. I wouldn't expect a lot of out of any of these three guys. And if you're wondering, Blue, what about Branson Robinson? Well, he's still rehabbing the knee. So there's some question about his availability at the beginning of the season. So Roderick Robinson now looks like he's with that first-team offense as they get ready to face the Clemson Tigers in the season opening game. And we'll keep track of what's going on with Trevor Etienne. Again, I think he faces punishment. We're talking about missing a game to start the season. So I'm just guessing, assuming he's going to miss that Clemson game. Coming back on the other side, man, we got some crazy stuff going on. So we'll hit that next. I'll be the only guy in this market talking about this sports topic today. I've got that next. You got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Boy, that Hubbard's on fire today. And you know, I wasn't aware the Hawk season was still going on. I thought that was over.
You're at me, bro.
Telling you, man. And Matt Lear now has, we got tag team engineers for the show. Holloway now gone. He's going to be running the Chuck Oliver show. And Matt Lear, after having a brunch, a little break in the action, comes back in, finishes up the Buck Belue show.
Well, it takes two guys to replace DT.
Yeah, DT was some well-deserved time off, I believe. I understand he went down to Florida. He's got some family down there. I think he's probably got his feet in the sand right now. But that's just a guess. We all need a little time away, right? So hopefully DT's going to have some fun. And Lear, always great to have you associated with the show, brother. You do a great job with that locker room show in the morning.
Thank you, Buck.
I know they seem to be getting on you a lot, but I've often thought that Matt Lear does as good a job as any engineer at the station.
Buck, you're too kind.
Do you know this segment we occasionally we have? Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say
what?
Say what again?
Say what?
Stop it!
Say what?
Yeah, when somebody says something crazy, we might break this out. I'm really impressed you knew where to find this.
Well,
Lear, that's a job well done right there, brother. My goodness. So let's hear from the star, Caitlin Clark. Here's Caitlin.
people are more excited about the women's side than the men's side, and I think that's obviously something that's really never been the case before, and it's cool to see how it's evolved. Like, when I first started this when I was a freshman, like, we couldn't even use the March Madness branding, and now to see this, and really it's just taken a whole nother level, and I expect it to continue to grow this year.
What?
Say what? I have not seen 1 second of the women's tournament. Look, I'm not, you know, trying to poo-poo it, but I just there's only so much time in the day, right? I mean, I'm an employee here at 680 The Fan, so I got to be ready to come on and talk every day of the week. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I had to go to the club this weekend, Parents Weekend, where my daughter's going to college at Mississippi State. So there's only so much time, and look, all my time went to the men's NCAA tournament. Lear, I didn't see 1 second of the women's.
I didn't.
And let me just say, I'm interested. I'll check out and say, okay, I wonder how Caitlin Clark did in that game yesterday.
I think I'll watch tonight. I really think I will.
Oh, they play tonight?
Yep, 8 o'clock.
Okay. Well, see, I didn't know that.
Say what?
Look, to say that everyone is more excited about the women's tournament than the men's tournament, I would say that's inaccurate. That is not the case. Now, I am impressed with Caitlin Clark in that opening round game. I saw the highlight on social media of that girl from Holy Cross hit Caitlin Clark with that left hand. I mean, I thought for sure that girl's going to get thrown out of the game. It wasn't even viewed as a foul that was going to get like a technical shot or get that girl thrown out of the game.
And there were people that were saying she was faking it.
My goodness. I mean, what's going on? Come on, Caitlin. Not everybody is more excited about the women's tournament than the men's tournament. Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. How about that Georgia baseball team? I'm going to be the only, and I didn't hear the whole locker room this morning. I didn't hear it all the entire show. I was asleep during the first hour of the show. But driving down today, I didn't hear them mention this, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I'm going to be the only sports talk host here in Metro Atlanta that will bring up the success of the Georgia baseball team over the weekend. Now, they got swept last weekend in Lexington. And a lot of people were talking about that. Nobody talked about the sweep over Alabama this weekend. And the performance of my buddy Charlie Condon, who went 5-for-10 against Alabama pitching, 5 runs, 2 home runs, and continues this onslaught, regardless of what team or what pitcher is on the mound. Charlie Condon is doing some damage, man. And he did some damage this weekend against Alabama. And you know what? I'm just totally surprised that opponents are still pitching to this guy. I mean, how would he get a fastball in the strike zone right now? I mean, how would he do that? I mean, are these people idiots? I mean, wouldn't the better plan be we're only going to throw him off-speed stuff out of the strike zone, and we're going to try to make him chase it. And if he doesn't chase it, then he gets a free pass and he walks down to first base. Wouldn't that be the better plan? I wouldn't give this guy a fastball to hit. I would try to make him chase, and if he doesn't chase, then Charlie, head on down to first base. He's hitting .517.
That's crazy.
Through 25 games. 17 home runs through 25 games. And I think the NCAA record for home runs in a season is 34 by Troy Gloss, who played at UCLA and had a big-time career in Major League Baseball. Gloss, single-season record of 34 bombs. And Georgia, they played 25 games. They've got 29 games remaining before the SEC tournament.
It's going to be a new record.
So I'm telling you, man, and there's already a discussion about Charlie Condon being the first pick in the draft come June. Bulldogs in Knoxville this coming weekend taking on the highly rated Tennessee Volunteers. All right, time for the final word.
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
Lear says these college kids have egos. I'm going to strike that Condon out. Here comes my fastball. Let's see if you can hit it. And then, boom, that thing flies out of Foley Field. Wednesday, we're going to be in Athens at the University of Georgia, hanging out with Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs, and I'm going to try to get Wes Johnson over there to talk a little baseball, man. Then Thursday, Braves opening day, we're going to be at Woods Chapel Barbecue in the Summer Hill community, eating some good barbecue and celebrating the opening day to Major League Baseball. Looking forward to it. All right, that's going to do it for my show. Cellini and Domino, coming up next, the Cellini and Domino Show on 680 The Fan. Stay tuned for that, and have a great rest of the day, everybody.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM, or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.